The images in the readings today are of the tree of Jesse, an old idea deeply written into our Jewish ancestry. And my plan this morning had been to speak to Jesse and that old and fertile idea of his family tree. But once in a great while, the world breaks in such a way that you need to play the hand you've been dealt. And this is one of those Sundays. And so the title of this sermon is not as indicated in your leaflet. Instead, this sermon comes under the title, The Freedom of Forgiveness. And the text that it is based on is that marvelous line from Isaiah, quoted in our listening this morning by Matthew, the evangelist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Of course, I am speaking about the death on Thursday of this past week of Nelson Mandela. None of us will be able to escape the torrent of words to be said about him and in commendation of him in the week to come. And I do not pretend this morning in your hearing to add to them in any substantial or unique way. But there is something about the passing of this remarkable man that I think we must take account of in a Christian church in the 21st century. I want to be clear about why we are doing this. We do not take note of Nelson Mandela's passing because he was a president or because he was a prisoner. We don't take note of him because he was a great leader of the church, because quite simply, he was not. In fact, if you've read it, Mandela's memoir contains a trenchant critique of the collaboration of many of South Africa's churches with the institution of apartheid and the white supremacist governments that depended on that idea for power. Nelson Mandela was a highly accomplished, a highly influential figure in one of the most significant world historical movements of our lifetimes. The final undoing of any shred of legitimacy to a politics based on race. He not only saw the truth of the evils of such a regime, he not only proclaimed with great courage and at great cost the evils of that regime, but to him goes as well the credit for forging out of that horror a new government with at least the opportunity of genuine legitimacy in the eyes of its own people. Mandela was an accomplished, courageous, bold, complicated man. But none of that is a reason for us to remember him. The reading we heard this morning from Isaiah, that beautiful description of the peaceable kingdom, all of that seems like an impossible dream in our world of conflict and contention. It is meant to have exactly that effect on us. It is meant to strike us as not just lovely, but impossible. It is a world in which the insoluble conflicts of this world, the fundamental struggles between predator and prey, between powerful and powerless, are not just ended, they are utterly transformed. Things that were impossible have become possible. This does not happen by accident, and it does not happen by chance. It happens because something comes and changes the whole situation. For Isaiah, what happens is the restoration of Israel's place as a nation among nations, a people gathered together under its own king. a continuation of the kingship of David, the first great king of Israel, the beloved youngest son of Jesse. For Paul, what happens is the coming of Jesus Christ, who breaks down the barrier between the chosen people of Israel and the outsiders, the Gentiles, showing that God has acted to be reconciled to all people. And for us, what happens is the single most important message of the Christian revelation, that God is love, that love is more powerful than hate, and that the means by which love conquers, the way that reconciliation happens, is by the audacious act of forgiveness. It is only forgiveness that wields the power to transform what is disordered into something that conforms with God's dream for us. It is only forgiveness that holds the potential to unlock possibilities in human relationships that are believed to be impossible. And it is only forgiveness that has the strength to break down the prisons of hate that we build for ourselves in inventing reasons to hate and suspect others. If there is a single supreme Christian discipline, it is surely the discipline of forgiveness. And forgiveness is a discipline. It is not something that comes to us naturally, at least not the costly kind, the kind that has the power to change anything. And so as we prepare for the coming of the child who will change everything, the little child who will lead us and proclaim the good news to the captives and defeat the love of power with the power of love, it is entirely fitting that as part of our preparations, we should reflect on the lessons of Nelson Mandela's life. Because history would have forgiven him, translating the authority of his unjust imprisonment into an exercise of political leadership dedicated to the proposition and to the practice of revenge against those who had led the cruel and repressive regime that had taken away nearly 30 years of his life and snuffed out the lives of so many more. But Mandela chose no such path. The government of national reconciliation that he created upon his election included some of the very leaders who had enforced the laws that jailed him. Instead of persecuting his persecutors when the tables had turned, he gave substance and power to the search for truth and reconciliation. Nelson Mandela not only expressed forgiveness, but he lived it out. And what is vastly more, he shaped a social norm for forgiveness that made harmony and unity possible in a society bitterly divided by the legacies of hatred and injustice. Never forget that accomplishing this also came at a great cost, as any genuine act of forgiveness has a cost. We now have, and we will be served over the week to come, with an image of Mandela sanitized for inclusion in our pantheon of moral leaders. But many in his own land, even many of his own people, suspected him as a compromiser, as a leader of weak resolve or worse. Of course, that is now all conveniently forgotten. But in the hard and heavy days of shaping a new South Africa, it was a constant background refrain. Forgiveness is a discipline, and it is not one that wins anyone universal admiration. Some of you may have heard former President Clinton recall in this past week a conversation that he once had with Mandela after both of them had retired from political life. Clinton asked him, "When you were finally leaving that prison, didn't you just hate them all over again?" And Mandela's answer was by no means angelic. Here's what he said. "Absolutely. Absolutely I did. Because they had imprisoned me for so long. I was abused. I didn't get to see my children grow up. I lost my marriage and the best years of my life. I was angry. And I was afraid. Because I had not been free in so long. But as I got closer to the car that would take me away, I realized that when I went through that gate, if I still hated them, they would still have me. I wanted to be free, and so I let it go." Forgiveness is a discipline. But it is not only a discipline in the interest of others. It is, finally, a self-interested discipline, because it is the means by which we secure our own freedom. Our freedom from hate. Our freedom from suspicion. Our freedom from separateness and division. Our freedom from fear. I will end with words of Mandela's own from Long Walk to Freedom, his autobiography. These words from his concluding chapter. "I always knew that deep down in every human heart there is mercy and generosity. No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin, or his background, or his religion. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite." Nelson Mandela lived a life of forgiveness, that most Christian of disciplines, in a way perhaps more significant, more profound than any single other human of our day. And that is why, no matter what else history may make of him, it is right that we in the church should give thanks for the example of his life in our own time of preparation, as we make ready to receive the little child who comes to teach us to love and to lead us into the ways of peace. Amen.